This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DeMeo. The year Hank Greenberg hit 58 homers to lead the major leagues, he batted 315, scored 143 runs, drove in 147, and had an OPS of 1.122, if that means anything to you. If it doesn't, just know that it's very, very good. He meant something close to everything to Jewish Americans. Like Joe DiMaggio with Italian Americans, but more so. Hank Greenberg was the Hebrew hammer. Despite suffering all sorts of anti-Semitic prejudice and abuse, he never ran away from his identity, even when people freaked out when his Detroit Tigers lost a game when he sat out for Yom Kippur. And every Jewish kid poring over the box score in the Cleveland Plain Dealer while pouring milk over their morning cereal, and all the old-timers shouting about baseball and Yiddish over the squealing brakes of the elevated trains on Canal Street, knew the only reason Hank Greenberg led the league in walks that same year was because no one would give him anything to hit. Because no one wanted a Jew to break Babe Ruth's home run record. The year Hank Greenberg hit 58 homers, there was another Jewish hero known for his own astounding athletic feats, though his fame didn't extend much beyond New York. But if you grew up in a cold water flat in Flatbush or remembered waking up to the sounds of guys selling pickles and shmata outside your tenement window in Rivington, you knew the mighty Adam. The beginning of his story wasn't all that different from your own. He was born Joseph Greenstein in Poland. He had come to America fleeing a pogrom, found work where he could, which in his case turned out to be Galveston, Texas, in the oil fields. And that's where his story, it starts to differentiate a touch from the standard tale of Jewish European migration in the early 20th century. His boss became obsessed with his wife, Leah, and wanted to get Greenstein out of the picture. So he shot him. At 10 paces, right between the eyebrows. And it did not kill him. Not only did it not kill him, the bullet, it smushed. The doctors went in to retrieve it and found the bullet right under his skin, flattened against his skull. And Joseph Greenstein, a little guy, barely 5'4", gifted with an apparently preternaturally hard head, found a calling. He hit the vaudeville circuit, told his story in tents and fields and small towns, let kids touch his scar, and he built out his act by building up his body. He became the mighty Adam, a strong man, a compact package with remarkable power, who drove nails through wood with his fists, who bent straight metal rods into heart shapes, who broke chains with his bare hands. And who among us would deny his fans the metaphorical pleasures of watching a fellow Jew break chains with his bare hands? And in 1938, the year Hank Greenberg hit 58 home runs and walked 119 times, the mighty Adam was packing them in theaters all over New York. That year, when pitchers started walking Hank Greenberg over and over, as he got closer and closer to beating Babe Ruth's record, so he fell three short. The Nazis annexed Austria. German Jews were forced to register their assets, then their businesses. Then they were forbidden to practice medicine, and then law. Then they were forced to get ID cards and present them on request. Then have their passports stamped with a red J. Then the Nazis burned the synagogue at Nuremberg. Hank Greenberg went 2 for 5 that day. Then Jews of Polish descent were exiled from Germany right as baseball season ended. And then 1,000 synagogues were set on fire on Kristallnacht, and 76 were destroyed, as were more than 7,000 Jewish-owned businesses and Jewish homes, and more than 100 Jewish people were killed, and 30,000 were arrested and sent off to concentration camps, and those who remained were expelled from school and stripped of their businesses and their property as winter came. The year that Hank Greenberg had one of baseball's greatest seasons while people shouted "Dirty Jew" and "Kike" at him from the stands. Membership in the German-American Bund was on the rise. 25,000 German-Americans, dedicated to extending Hitler's vision of anti-Semitism and the master race to the United States. 8,000 of them uniformed stormtroopers. And there was Father Coughlin, a radio preacher with an audience in the many millions, who had spent most of the 30s keeping his anti-Semitism coded, keeping it to dog whistles and whispers about Roosevelt and the banks, but in the year Hank Greenberg came in third in MVP voting, he stopped holding back, writing about the Jewish conspiracy controlling the world, and praising Hitler and German atrocities on the radio. And as that year turned to the next, and the nights were long, and winter didn't seem to end, and Hank Greenberg's remarkable summer was a dream half remembered. And the Nazis passed a law that forced Jews to turn over everything made of gold and silver. Arks, menorahs, wedding rings, lovers' lockets. The German-American Bund held a rally in Madison Square Garden. Swastikas and American flags. The Nazi eagle and George Washington. The red, white, and blue and the red and black. And banners hung from the rafters like retired jerseys. And 22,000 people in the audience. Americans, right there in Midtown Manhattan, with their right arms extended in the Nazi salute. While there was another American just outside. The mighty Adam was in Midtown, too. He'd performed nearby earlier that day, pounded some nails with his fists, broke some chains. And the story goes that he saw a sign hanging high in the wall of the arena, a slogan too familiar. And on that night, just too much. No dogs or Jews allowed. And so he went across the street to a hardware store, slapped some cash on the counter, and left with a ladder and a bat. And he hefted the three-story ladder across 33rd Street, propped it up against the wall, and climbed, and started ripping down the sign. And a security guard, swastika on his armband, shouted for help. And by the time the mighty Adam got back to the street, the torn sign flapping above him, 20 Nazis surrounded him, looking for a fight. So the mighty Adam gave him one. And when it was over, there were 18 American Nazis on the way to the hospital. And there was one Jewish American walking home with only a black eye and holding a baseball bat. A Hank Greenberg signature model Louisville Slugger. The Memory Palace is written and produced by me, Nate DeMayo, with research assistance from Andrew Milne and engineering assistance from Elizabeth Aubert. This show is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, which gets its ad-serving technology from AdZerk, and financial support from the Knight Foundation, and from generous listeners just like you. The music under our ads is made just for us at Radiotopia by J.D. Sampson. And if you have a business and you would like to hear me talking about the virtues of that business, shoot me a line. Hit me up at nate@thememorypalace.us, and I'll put you in touch with the right people. Before I go, I want to tell you about one of my fellow Radiotopia shows. It is called Strangers by the wonderful Leah Thau. It is a storytelling show that explores the ways in which strangers come together. I mean, it's over the years, she's just done these remarkable stories, exploring what it means to interact across cultures, across language barriers, within subcultures. And Leah has taken to the road since the election, trying to understand the political divide. She has gotten drunk with and high with and road tripped with Trump supporters, trying to make sense of our current situation. And it's been a really fun series. It is a perfect time to check out the show. So check out Strangers and all the other Radiotopia shows at radiotopia.fm. I'll catch you guys next time.
Radiotopia. From Pete.